Hey, everybody, welcome to the Big News Show with me, Ben Bailey. It's the Big News Show with Ben Bailey featuring me, Ben Bailey. Isn't that a crazy coincidence? Welcome, guys. It's episode number 5. We've got a lot of fun stuff planned for you tonight. Of course, the lovely and talented Miss Emma Gleason is here, as well as our little four-legged sidekick, Sparky the dog, will be here in sound and spirit. New guy Kieran is back behind the bar. That is Vic's bar, which we will be going live from and doing some chatting about interesting stuff, some very interesting stuff. We're going to take a stroll up the hill and visit the wise old man on the mountain. We're going to see some Ben's boxing. We're going to, of course, experience another story in the annals of Emma's Weird, Wild, Wacky Wednesday Weekly World News. We're going to go to the local comedy club. We're going to do some movie quotes. I'm going to give you the answer to last week's movie quote. We're going to take some viewer questions, and we're going to answer them. We're going to do Sunday, 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 because Wednesday is Sunday on the Big News Show. And also, maybe some other stuff. It's the Big News Show, episode 5. Let's do this. All right, first stop, live from Vic's. That's where we sit at Vic's bar and talk about stuff. Live from Vic's, brought to you by somebody, hopefully at some point, looking for sponsors for any of these segments of the show. If you guys are interested, shoot us an email or put something in the comments. Let us know if you want to do it. We'd love to have a sponsor. Hey, everybody, how's it going? It's the Big News Show, episode number 5, and we're off to a good start.
Woo.
That was Kieran. Kieran's overwhelmingly enthusiastic woo. Which it sounded kind of more like a question. If you did that during one of my stand-up shows, I would make fun of you for the entirety of the show.
You probably mentioned that I sounded like an owl.
Woo.
Might be a good transition.
Woo. I do have a nice long owl bit.
Oh, yeah.
That we haven't done on the show, but it's on YouTube. I think we have the owl bit. It's on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
That's Ben Bailey Comedy, you guys. If you want to check out the YouTube page, there's all kinds of stand-up there and stuff. But yeah, we're back in the studio, and we are at it again. We missed last week because we had so many technical issues that I almost threw the computer through the window and said, I did, in fact, say.
No, you did say.
Several times, I did say, I can't fucking do this anymore. I'm quitting. That's it. Forget it.
Yeah,
but
no more.
We persevered. We kept coming back in. We had the crackle issue just over and over and over, and it was just driving me insane. And I finally was ready to give up.
No, you gave up.
I did give up, but then I came back, and then I gave up, and then I came back. And I was ready to quit completely, and I called the software company, and I talked to them. And that's where the crackle was coming from, the program that we were using. They knew of the crackle issue, and it would just my head almost exploded. Like, I'm so happy for them that they don't have an office here in our hometown, because I would have driven over there and just choked and slapped anyone that I could get my hands on. I was so mad. After all those months, I never thought it was going to be the software. It seemed like an audio issue, you know? But so the good news is we figured out what it is. We figured out what it was, rather. That's an important distinction. What it was, not what it is. Mm-hmm. There is no more crackle.
It is no more.
The crackle is no more. And here we are in the studio. And I have been back on the road, you guys. I think maybe that's a good place to start off our chat. I went to Oklahoma City, which is a city in Oklahoma, not surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. I had a great time. I did 4 shows.
Nice.
Had good crowds despite some bad winter weather right before. Although not, you know, it wasn't as immediately before my arrival as I thought. I was riding. They couldn't get anyone to pick me up. There's no Ubers were active because of the snow. The limo company that the club normally uses was not picking people up. Like, everything was shut down, including some of the doors at the airport. I could not get out of the airport. And there was a sign on the door that said, "This door closed and locked due to bad weather." And I've never heard of or seen that before. Like, the weather was so bad that you couldn't open the doors.
Wow.
To an airport? I'm like, what the? It
sounds like a safety issue.
Yeah, like, okay, we're trapped inside. How do I get out? I couldn't get out. I could get through there. You know how there's double doors, right? There's 2 sets, and there's the vestibule in between. I could get into there, but then I couldn't get outside. But so they sent a guy. They got a local comic, a guy named Marty Johnson.
Yeah. Hang on, wait.
Yeah, yeah. What's
up? How long did it take you to find a way out, as they say in
England? Another.
And
I have
Australia.
A bit about that.
Yeah.
Which I love, but it doesn't work here. I can only do it overseas. But
yeah.
That the difference we're talking about is like if you're in a train station or a tube station or an airport or a big public place. There's a little signs don't say exit. They say way out. And the joke is like, you know, there's a big difference between saying we need to find an exit and we need to find a way out. But one of them subtly implies that something has gone horribly wrong. Man, I had fun doing shows in England and in Australia. But it took me a while to find a way out. I kept going into different little vestibules and not being able to get outside.
Can you imagine if there was an emergency? Like,
yeah, what are we going to do? We're all going to pile into those little vestibules and not be able to go anywhere?
Oh, that'd be terrible. Like, and yeah, if it takes you 5 minutes to get out.
I get claustrophobic. I would start kicking.
You would just start kicking the door? I pushed on one of them. Like, the fourth one that I went into that I couldn't get out, I was like, I'm going to push this thing open. I don't care.
No, I'm with Kieran. I'm feeling panicky thinking about it.
Yeah, there was never like a pan. You know what? I might have had a moment where I was like, oh my God, I've come all the way to Oklahoma and I'm not going to be able to get out of the airport.
I'm not going to make it to the show.
Yeah, they're going to be at the club. Everyone's going to be packed in there. Like, where's Bailey? He can't get it. He's at the airport. Oh, his flight got canceled? He's still at the airport in Jersey? No, he's at the airport here in Oklahoma City, but he can't get out. Oh my God, that would have been brutal.
Oh, everybody comes and watches from the other side of the glass.
Yeah, I just like, I'm like miming, but not miming. I'm actually stuck in a glass box.
Oh God.
Unbelievable. But so I finally get through. I have to go up a level and then I can get out. But
wow.
not all of those were over. There's like one set was actually in use.
That's crazy.
It was pretty late at night by the time I got there. And there weren't a lot of people in the airport, so.
Mm.
It almost kind of, it wasn't so bad. Like if it was middle of the day and it was packed, it would have created a scene that you couldn't actually use the doors. Before we get to the snow part, I pulled a good move. I was originally flying through Chicago, O'Hare.
Yeah.
And inclement weather came in.
Inclement.
It was interesting because I got an email that said you can pre-select your meals and get your first choice. And I was like, oh, that's new. I didn't know.
Yeah, you were excited about
that. I was
that,
very excited
you?
About that. So then I go in, I'm like, should I beef or chicken? Or no, it was ravioli or chicken.
Actually, I think I was excited about it.
We were both a little excited.
You got more excited when I did. I'm like, I'm not flying, but that's so cool.
Yeah, and so then I was like trying to select my meal, and another notification came and said, your flight's canceled. I'm like, but I haven't even chosen my meal yet. And so I was on a flight from Newark to Chicago and then connection to Oklahoma City. And it said, your flight to Chicago has been canceled, so we've rerouted you. And they just booked me to Denver. I'm like, that's a different destination. I can't just go to Denver instead of Oklahoma City,
right.
You guys. I was looking for the connection from Denver to Oklahoma City, and it wasn't there.
Huh.
But so I was like, all right. And this is all a full day before, so, and it's due to the weather or a lack of tickets being sold, I think. Because when I selected my seat on that flight, there was literally no one else on the plane. And I'm like, this doesn't bode well. But so I was like, I got this great idea. I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fly around the storm. So I tracked the storm on the Weather Channel app, and I saw where it was coming, and I saw when it was going to arrive and where it was going to, you know, be when. And I went through Houston instead. So I flew under it, and by the time I was in Houston, it had gone by.
Wow.
And then I flew back up to Oklahoma City.
Wow. You tricked Mother Nature.
I tricked Mother Nature. Don't fuck with Mother Nature. That's a movie quote, everybody, and a random one. Such a weird one. I don't know if anyone's going to get that one. Don't fuck with Mother Nature. They say it several times in this movie.
Can I guess?
You can guess, yeah.
Is it Twister?
No.
Okay.
guessed. If you had guessed it, I would have been absolutely shocked because it's pretty obscure. I will tell you that one later, guys, or maybe we'll cliffhang it to the next episode. I owe you an answer from 2 weeks ago now.
Oh, yeah.
Last episode, what that movie quote is. We'll get to that later, but that came up, so I had to do it. But so, yeah, I flew around the storm. I flew to Houston, and because Houston is a big hub and, like, that flight was going on to Sydney, I think.
Oh, right.
I had, like, a full lay-down seat, which is good. For several reasons. It just feels better, especially when you're kind of worrying about COVID, to not have a person right next to you, you know. But it was great. And I got to watch some really cool stuff on the flight. Nice. I watched a thing that I highly recommend to you guys. I was in a bad mood. I was in a bad spot. Like, I was feeling really crappy about what had happened with the show the day before, and I was just feeling down, and I was tired, and I watched a thing called Ski Bum, the Warren Miller story. It's about this guy, Warren Miller, who made all these ski films.
Mm.
And he really did some amazingly cool stuff. He made something out of nothing. So I highly recommend that if you guys are into skiing or just, it's just kind of a human interest thing. It's called Ski Bum, the Warren Miller story. I watched that on the flight. I learned that there are blind people that ski. And there are, yeah, I couldn't believe it. I wish we were on Kieran for the look on his face. Like, is that a joke? Not a joke. He was filming a guy and saying, you know, this guy's kind of skis differently than anybody else. And then he talks to the guy after, and he realized the guy's blind, and he is skiing.
Okay, so he talks to him, and he doesn't know. Sorry. He looks at him and doesn't know that he's blind, but
no,
tell that he is skiing a bit differently.
Yeah, he could see that he's skiing. There's something a little different about the way he's skiing.
Wow.
And he interviews the guy later, and he's blind. And, I mean, you would never think that. He's watching the guy ski down a mountain, and then he interviews him, and the guy's blind. So he starts filming him, and he did this amazing thing. I don't want to give away too much about it, but he did a really cool thing where he's filming the guy, and he's talking about how he's blind and how he discovered that he's blind. And then he keeps the audio going, and he just blacks out the shot, and you can just hear him skiing, and you, it's like really moving. Like, I really recommend watching this thing, man. It turned me around. I was in a really bad mood and a really bad place, and it just gave me a new perspective.
That's great, babe.
Not just the blind skier, but Warren Miller. Like, what he did was an inspiration to me, and surprising similarities to what he does and what I do, and like it was great. And then after that, I watched this thing called Adventures in Golf, where this guy goes around and he plays all these different golf courses and he interviews people. And he, total coincidence, I picked the episode of Adventures in Golf randomly. There's a bunch of them on there. I think it was produced for United, right? So,
right.
And the one I picked, he ends up interviewing and playing with two guys that are blind. And discovers, to his surprise, as much as it was to mine, that there is a world of blind golfers. There are international blind golfer competitions. There is the one guy, he loses his sight when he was like 19, and he's just falling apart, of course. He doesn't know what to do, and his father convinces him to try to golf again, and he's like, is this a joke? Like, I'm blind, I can't golf.
Yeah.
But his dad sets the ball up for him, lines him up and everything, and then he takes his swing the way he used to, and he hits a couple right, and he gets the bug again, and he wants to play again. And, yeah, I was having the same effect on me, babe.
Oh,
I know,
God.
It's getting to you.
Make me all teary.
But, so, yeah, and so it was for me, too. And then, you know, because I love golf.
I don't like golf.
You don't like golf, but,
well,
like,
I've never played it. But
I love golf. I've played it so much that, like, just imagining trying to play golf blind. Like, golf is so hard anyway. It's like, these guys just blew me away.
Wow.
So the one guy, he takes it up. His dad is guiding him, and he's playing golf, even though he can't see. And he gets a call from the United States Blind Golf Association, and he thinks it's like somebody's pulling his leg.
Right.
Like, he's like, this, what? This, no way. And they're like, no, this is real. It's a real thing, you know? So he becomes a part of it. He starts competing. And so the guy that hosts this show, Adventures in Golf, he does a great job. I feel badly that I can't remember his name, but he does a great job. He starts looking around and delving into this, and he discovers that there's this whole world of blind golfers out there. And one of them invites him to come and do the blind golf challenge, where he plays 6 holes of golf blindfolded. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, blindfolded. Like, he's got a full, it's like, it covers, there's no way he can see anything. It's clear that he can't see anything. And so first he goes to the driving range, and he's like, he's ready to give up.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a pretty good golfer. But so, yeah, he practices blindfolded, and he goes out and he plays 6 holes of golf with this guy. And it just blew me away. Like, at one point he's sitting in the cart and he just says, I feel so lonely. He's like, I just feel so alone. I've never felt so alone in my life, you know. And it just really makes you realize what it must be like and how hard it must be. And, like, just wow. I mean, these guys just amazed me.
Ooh.
Yeah. Really moving stuff. And, like, at another point they're interviewing him in the cart in between, and he goes, here's a crazy thing. He says, my other senses have kicked in to high gear.
Yeah.
Like, he said his sense of smell and his hearing is, like, through the roof. At one point he's about to swing, and he stops, and he's like, is that a dog?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I didn't hear a dog. And no, it's not a dog barking. It's a dog running. And it's like 100 yards away from him. And they're like, yeah, that is a dog, but it's way over there. But, like, so he was blindfolded for several hours, and his hearing just became super sensitive.
How quickly?
Yeah.
That
but so I was really impressed with that episode and the host and with the guys and the people that are competing.
Yeah.
In international blind golf competitions. And a guy who's skiing blind, you know. And I was just like, man, what the hell do I have to be upset about?
Yeah.
I need to, like, realize how good I have it
and
not take things for granted, you know. Because these guys weren't expecting to go blind, and they just did.
Yeah.
And they lived with it. And the one guy was pretty funny. He got into there. He's like, how did you get into the blind golf? And he's like, my wife suggested it. And then they interview the wife, and she's like, I had to get him out of the house. She's like, she goes, I figured golf takes a long time, right? So I'll get him to golf. And that was literally her motivation, was like, I'll find something for him to do where he's out of the house for a long time. And that guy is, like, an international champion. He's won blind golf tournaments. He travels around the world playing golf. And I'm so impressed by these guys, man.
Yeah.
I mean, hats off. Unreal. The courage and the perseverance that must take is amazing to me, you know. So that was very moving and wonderful on the plight, on the plight. Was that Freudian? Would that be considered Freudian? On the flight, and it made up for the horrible nose hair issues that the person sitting just 2 seats away from me had.
What?
I mean, you see a person and they have, like, a nose hair. It's tough. It's like, I just want to tell them.
Okay.
I just want to let them know because, yeah. And I actually have a bit about it. So for that, we're gonna take a quick jaunt over to the local comedy club. I feel like as human beings, we kind of owe it to each other to tell each other about nose hair issues. Right? I mean, can we just make a pact? Like, if I ever have something, please tell me. Like, if someone has a little bit of visible nose hair, I can't take it. I can't look at it, but I can't not look at it. And it's a mystery to me, like, how they don't know. How do you have a bristle brush growing? Just go up to them and say something. Just walk up and go, hey, I got bad news and I got worse news. I'm going to give you the bad news first. The bad news is you have a full mustache that originates inside your nose. And that's the bad news. And the worst news is your friends and your family do not care about your happiness. Right? As far as they're concerned, you can die alone.
That's the message I'm getting. Otherwise, someone would have pulled you aside and said, hey, walrus, I can't even see anything but this that's sticking out of the middle of your face. How do you not know about it? Like me, it's all I can see. I don't know how you could look in the mirror and not see it. It is the only thing that I can see. Like, you could walk away from me now, trim that back, and then come back out again, and I'll be like, who is this person in front of me that I've never seen before? That's the level of change you're looking at if you take some sort of a blade to that hedge line that's growing out of the middle of your face. How do you not... I will help you with it. If you want me to help you with it, I will. I got a weed whacker in the truck. You come out in the parking lot, you lay down on the ground, zit, 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 and you're good. I got a chainsaw in case the weed whacker won't work. I want to help you, man. I want you to get laid. I don't want you to die alone. I want you to get rid of that scrub brush that's growing out of your nose so people can see you for the person that you might be. You could be a wonderful person under there, but no one's going to know. No one's going to know unless you get rid of that whisk broom. It's like a broom. It's like two brooms. It's like you sneezed and two brooms shot out of your nose, but they got stuck at the end. Ah, fuck! It's all anyone can see. Do something about it. I can't tell you anything else. Okay, that's what I wanted to say to the guy on the plane, so I got to say it now. But, man, there's been a lot of different little tangents here. But so I got to Oklahoma City. I couldn't get out of the airport.
Right.
I finally did. A local comic, a guy named Marty Johnson, came to pick me up because nobody else would. He had a four-wheel drive truck. And we get out on the road, and there's, like, a lot of snow. We're driving in snow. And I say, wow, I guess the snow must have just ended, huh? And he goes, no, it stopped snowing hours ago. And I'm like, well, don't you guys plow the roads? And he's like, nope. I'm like, what? He goes, well, the highways, but that's it.
Wow.
So, yeah, Oklahoma City, they plow the highways, but they don't plow the side roads or the smaller streets, and they don't clear the sidewalks, which is just, like, crazy to me. Like, I don't understand how they just don't do that.
Yeah.
And they all know, like, I mentioned it on stage every show I came out. I said, hey, it's great to be back in Oklahoma. I wish you'd plow the fucking roads, though. And they got a big laugh, you know. And I was like, you guys don't plow the South Street. And every show, people were like, nope, no, we don't. And they seemed like almost proud of it.
That's super weird.
Isn't it strange?
We laugh in the face of danger.
Yeah, like walking around town becomes dangerous. Wow. Because everybody's walked, and you know how after a million people walk over snow, it turns to ice that's totally uneven. Like, no salt. Here, it snows. They're plowing and salting before it snows.
Yeah.
Until well after it snows.
Yeah.
And those guys are, like, the people doing that are making overtime. Like, they depend on that. When we have a winter that is mild and we don't get a lot of snow.
Yeah.
Those people that work for the maintenance for the towns that drive the trucks are like, damn, man, like, I took a beating this winter. I made half as much as I usually do because we didn't have any big snows. And I think that's probably why it's a big expense.
Mm. Oh, God, yeah.
You know? So
think about the liability, like, on a,
right?
On the, you know, walkway in front of a restaurant.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking about. We must be much more litigious here on the East Coast because, I mean, things are salted. Like, when I went to get my booster a couple of weeks back, after there was supposed to be a snow, there was so much salt on the steps into this building, and they might as well had a, like, obviously they're afraid of getting sued. You wouldn't, I mean, they just covered it.
Wow.
And it didn't snow. You know? Then I'm in Oklahoma, and there's, you know, 8 inches of snow, no salt, no plow.
Wow.
So if I ever move to Oklahoma, I am going to buy a house based on the location of the guys that drive the plows. because you know, it's the highways and their streets are the ones that get plowed. So live on the street that a plow guy lives on. Or plow gal. It could be a plow gal.
Plow gal. Could be.
They just have a different way of
I'm
doing things.
I'm a plow gal sometimes.
You are a plow gal. We have a plow. I put a plow on my Chevy Avalanche, which I love. A lot of truck guys are like, couldn't you do, like I posted a picture of it once. And it was like, come on, Ben, an Avalanche? Couldn't you do better than that? You know, I'm like, no, I love that truck.
What do you mean better?
I like people that drive like pickup trucks think an Avalanche is like a bullshit truck.
In what regard?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
It's huge.
It's huge. And it has an option that no pickup truck has. I can fold down the seat and open the back all the way to the back of the bed, and then you could put full sheets of plywood in there.
Yeah.
That's super smart.
You can't do it in a pickup. There's not a pickup in the world that you can fit a full sheet of plywood in the bed. You have to, like, stick them up. So if you're hauling stuff, which I use it for a lot of stuff like that, that's a great truck.
It's massive. I
love that truck.
It's been well used.
It has, yeah. And it's got a plow on it because it snows, and then everybody needs to be plowed. So whoever your plowing contractor is, if you're not on the beginning of their list of places to plow in the morning, you end up waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple times I needed to get out and couldn't, so I was like, I'm going to put a plow on the truck.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's fun.
It is.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a good way.
It's cool.
It's a fun thing. The only thing is we never got to build the garage that I wanted to build, and the truck is too big to fit in the garage, the current garage, so we have to leave it out. So you got to go out and clear the snow off the truck before you can plow, but whatever.
I came up with a cool trick.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah,
I put like an old towel or mat like on the windscreen before it snows.
Yeah.
And then you just pull it off and all the snow comes up with it.
That's
cool.
A great idea.
Yeah, I don't think you'd want to do it like when you knew there was going to be like freezing rain and it was going to be really icy because it might stick to it. But
you're going to have issues then anyway in that situation. You basically just have to start it up and let it get warm enough that things start to melt.
Right, yeah. I wasn't sure what people did then. But yeah, I've never had any trouble with putting it on and just... It's just like the tablecloth trick. It's so cool. And you'll have this much snow and it just all comes sliding off.
Yeah, it's a good trick. I always forget to do it.
Yeah.
I use the snow shovel to scrape it.
Yeah.
My
way's a lot faster though.
Yeah, I guess it is.
And
but you still have to do the rest of the truck though.
I worry about scratching your truck when I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I've never been that way with the truck. Like, some people are like, don't touch the car. Do you put your fingerprints on the glass? You know, it's like, all right, it's a truck. It's a vehicle.
It's meant to
it's
be
not,
used.
It's not a shell. Like, are you never going to use it? Like,
yeah.
You know, maybe it's a beautiful car, but it's a car. You have it for a reason to use it. It's not a showpiece. But
yeah.
Other people, they look at their cars
and
differently.
And it's a working vehicle.
And it is a working vehicle. And plowing snow is fun. And Emma will plow it because I sleep late. She gets up early. I'll get up and the driveway will be clear. I'm like, this is fantastic. I didn't have to do nothing.
Yeah.
But not in Oklahoma. That's what we should do. We should take the plow to Oklahoma and start making some money. Like, all right, you guys don't have any of these out here. So we brought ours from Jersey. But I had a great time in Oklahoma City. The club, Bricktown Comedy Club, was great. I had a great time there. Everybody there was really nice.
Nice.
And I didn't know this going in, but after the late show on Friday, the manager of the club said, I don't know if anybody told you, but these shows were Bob Saget's shows. And I didn't know that going in, but I was happy they told me because then I could dedicate. So I did at the end of the shows on Saturday. I dedicated them to Bob. Pretty sad, pretty weird to be there doing the shows that were his, you know.
Definitely.
Such a shame. And there's been some weird new sort of, not sort of, some weird new discoveries in the way that he died.
Yeah.
So he died of head trauma.
Yeah.
And they thought he had just kind of died peacefully in his sleep. It turns out he actually had suffered some head trauma multiple before he died. Or before he, I don't know. It just gives me chills, man. Like, just to think about that. It's like, geez.
Yeah. That's not fun.
Rest in peace, Bob.
You liked him, didn't you?
He's a very nice guy. It's not like we were good friends or anything, but I met him, a bunch of times at clubs and a couple times at Sirius Radio in the city, and he was a super nice guy.
Nice.
And it just, you know, whenever somebody that, like, comedians, let's be honest, have been dropping like flies, and it's kind of starting to scare the shit out of me a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially one of those where he's, like, at a club that I do. He's in a hotel, the same hotel that I stay in when I do that club. And it's just like, oh, my God, it's a little bit close to home.
Yeah.
Man, so, I don't know. Maybe we need to lighten it up a little bit. I do have more gigs coming up. Speaking of those gigs, this weekend I will be in St. Louis, good old St. Lou, back at the Funny Bone in Westport Plaza in St. Louis. Looks like the weather's going to be bad. It's going to be raining. It'll be nice to be staying in the same building in which I'm performing.
Nice.
Because it's like a mall. It's like kind of this weird little mall thing, and I could stay there. So, yeah, we've got Funny Bone.
Oh, I know that one.
St. Louis, Westport. Yeah, you've come
I've
there
been
with
there
me.
Before.
Yeah. And then there's the DC Comedy Loft. Before that, there's Zanies in May. I'm going to be in Spokane in April. I haven't added that to the feed here, and I haven't put it on the website because I don't have the tickets aren't ready to be on sale yet. But I got Zanies in Chicago, I got DC Comedy Loft. I'm doing Tacoma sometime later in the year. I'm doing Indianapolis. I've got gigs through the whole year, you guys. They're all going to be on my website, which is therealbenbailey.com. We can actually flip over our screen and take a look at that right now. Let me turn off the scroll. So, yeah, there's the... that's the one I keep forgetting. The Shore Club, right in Spring Lake Heights, New Jersey. That is February 26th. This weekend, I'll be at the Funny Bone in St. Louis. The following Saturday, which is February 26th, I will be at the Shore Club. It's a place they've never done stand-up before, but they're starting to do stand-up. So I'm a little... unsure of how, you know, what the turnout's going to be like, but so yeah, the Shore Club in Spring Lake, then Zany's Chicago, Zany's Rosemont, Spokane is in there somewhere, DC Comedy Loft, Ridley's Comedy Castle in Royal Oak, Michigan. That ticket link isn't up yet either, but yeah, there's going to be more and more dates, guys. I just added four more, which are not on the website yet, and then two more just a couple days ago. So one of those is Rochester Comedy at the Carlson, and then I'm gonna do a weekend at Caroline's right here in New York City a little bit later in the year. So
getting busy, baby.
Getting busy. It feels like we're kind of like, getting back to our lives here finally.
Yeah.
You know, it's been 2 years since
like
we shut
old
down.
Times?
Seems like old times. Great movie. Seems like old times. Yeah, it does. It's kind of getting to feel like that. And while we're at it, we might as well show everybody the Shopify catalog. When we did Working From Home, which is our old show, we would promote No Kid Hungry and Feeding America. So what we've set up in order to promote these charities now is this Shopify catalog, where we have all this stuff that says The Big News Show on it. We got notebooks and T-shirts, hoodies, buttons, magnets, stickers, mouse pads, mugs, phone cases, which are available for 23 different phone models. Somebody was saying they were going to buy one if we only had the right one. Well, we've got it now. You have no more excuses. All kinds of stuff, guys. Hats. We got a Sparkle Bark hoodie for Elizabeth Fahey, who she's already put in the order. We had a little trouble. We're stumbling over getting that order to her. Dave Kowalski requested The Big News Show underwear. We've got that up there. We, of course, have our T-shirt that says, "Your T-shirt killed my life." So every time you guys make a purchase on there, some of the money goes to us. Some of the proceeds, I should say, comes to us. Some of it goes to Share Our Strength, which is a charity that battles hunger right here in the U.S. So go ahead and buy some stuff, you guys, please. Don't make us buy it. You know, that's what we're gonna do. We should buy it, and then we can show it off on the show.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah. I'm like, I meant to ask Elizabeth Fahey if she'll send us a photo.
Yeah,
of her.
She will if she ever gets the darn thing.
Yeah.
There was an issue with her shipping address and her billing address were different, and I don't know.
Yeah, so it's a new slight twist, but it's. I think it's so impressive you set all that up. It's really cool.
Thank you, babe. And yeah, and hopefully we can, you know, we can raise some money through
clearly,
it.
Clearly, guys, if there's something you really want, Ben will make sure it gets on the site for you.
No question. If there's something you guys want to see in that catalog, you let me know. And let's get to something that we should have gotten to a long time ago, a cash cab drive-by. It's a cash cab drive-by, folks. That means it's time for you to take a sip of your beverage. Or as you can see on the screen, it's time for you to drink your drink. Take a sip. Toast yourself and others for getting through the last couple of years that have really kind of sucked for a lot of us. Congratulations. It seems like we've made it through, you guys. And this segment, like others, we'd be happy to have a sponsor. So if anybody wants to sponsor these cash cab drive-bys, we will mention you or your product every time we do one. Shoot us an email or put your contact info in the comments, and we would be happy to have you sponsor us. And cheers, everybody. I'm gonna toast. Cheers to you guys for hanging with us, and to all of us for getting through this crazy time, man.
God, yeah.
And getting back to work.
Mm.
Man, it's been rough.
It has been.
But
hopefully some good things have come out of it for people at home. I know for us, this is good, this show.
Yeah.
I don't think, we wouldn't have got here otherwise without the pandemic and trying to bring some lightness into the world.
Yes.
And entertain people while they were stuck at home.
Yeah, so, you're absolutely right, babe.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that this has been really good for you and for me just to have this to do every week. And largely, people who are just finding this show now, we're referring to Working From Home, which is kind of the predecessor to this show.
Yeah.
Let me just point out that I have something new in my set here behind me. I have a picture on the wall. You guys can see it today. Here's the idea for this picture. I have three of these pictures that Emma got me for my birthday a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put one up. Whichever one I have up there is going to be reflective of my mood for that particular day. Today, and it's different movie stars, actors portrayed as like Confederate generals, or not Confederate, but like, I'm not sure what army they're supposed to be in.
Old-timey.
Old-timey generals. And today it's Bill Murray. Which means Bill Murray is probably my all-time favorite comedic actor. I really love the guy. He's just been making me laugh for like my whole life. So when I'm feeling happy and silly and good about stuff, you'll see Bill Murray's picture up behind me.
Nice.
If I'm feeling a little bit crazy and weird, it'll be Christopher Walken. And if I'm feeling pissed off and unhappy, it'll be Clint Eastwood.
Nice.
So today it's Bill Murray. Consider yourselves lucky.
I'll have to find the link for where I got them from to put up in the show notes.
Yeah, it was a good gift.
Yeah, it was cool.
She's asking me all these questions like, who do you like? Oh, do you like this guy better than that guy? I'm like, what is it? What's going on with this?
I thought it was really impressive. He took like these old timey, he took old portraits and put, modern day famous people on them. And
they look very realistic.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Like, I was like, I didn't know Bill Murray fought in a war. He'd be a pretty funny leader. There's a movie he hasn't made where it's a comedy. Hard to make a wartime comedy, I guess. Although they've done
isn't
it.
Isn't he in one? Isn't he in, like, Stripes?
Stripes, yeah. But it's kind of not really wartime.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, he is.
Yes.
Definitely. And it's a great movie. Stripes is a great movie. Largely due to Bill Murray's amazing performance, but also Harold Ramis.
Nice.
The late, great Harold Ramis. Great director. Made a lot of great movies. Miss that guy's content.
Mm.
But yeah, Stripes is a great movie. Stripes is like two movies in one.
Yeah.
There's this whole part where, the whole like first half of the movie is about them joining the army.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like these guys that never should have joined the army, join the army. And there's basic training.
Right.
And then there's this whole other part. It is kind of becomes a wartime thing in the second half. It's really like two movies. John Larroquette's in it too, and he's great. And John Candy. And
yeah.
That's just a great movie. That's one of the all times, I would say. Yeah. Stripes. There's a part in the beginning where Bill Murray's character is a cab driver. And he's just like, he's had it. He can't take it anymore. And he's got this old woman in the back who's got all these bags, and she's just giving him a hard time. And he's like, oh, no, I'm okay. I just wish I hadn't drank all that cough syrup this morning before I got in. He's just messing with her, and, like, he gets fired. His girlfriend dumps him. And that's how his buddy, played by Harold Ramis, convinces him, let's join the army.
It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, that's right. I can't believe I didn't have Stripes in mind. Sorry, Bill. Sorry, Bill. I forgot about one of your all-time greats.
He's got too many.
He's got too many. It's true.
True. Yeah.
Meatballs was the first one for me, where he's a camp counselor.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, okay. And it's a very funny movie. I haven't watched it in ages. I don't know how it would hold up. Mm. But
it was good at the time.
When I was 12, it was amazing, and largely because of him, because he's just so likable.
Yeah.
Warm and likable and funny and like it's just great.
Yeah.
We are live from VIX right now, everybody, as a reminder.
Would you like to take a viewer question?
Why don't we do that? Great call, babe.
Okay. So there's one question everybody's been asking.
Oh, boy. Is it about Crash Crab?
Crash Crab? It's a little bit more...
I mean Cash Cab, of course.
It's a little bit more why we're not live right now.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, that's
of course.
One that everyone's been asking.
So that's the question. Why are you guys not live?
Yeah, like, yeah, basically. I'm summarizing all the different versions of it.
Right.
So I thought maybe we could address that.
I think we should. I think that's a good idea, babe. We're not live because going live is so problematic. We've just had so many issues over the months here, even with the big new show. It seems right now, based on what's going on today, that we have overcome most of them, if not all of them. And our plan is, if we can pre-record a bunch of shows in a row without incident, that we will go back to going live just to YouTube. But the reason we're not live is because we've just had too many issues. This way, if the issues come up, we can edit them out and post a better product to you guys. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I like to, you know, if I'm going to do something, I want to do it well. And it just was killing me to have all these problems. And, you know, it was too stressful. And as I pointed out last week or the week before, not fun for you guys. Like, tune in Wednesdays at 8 and watch Ben have a nervous breakdown. And
I thought you meant Kieran and I.
Well, oh, my God. No, you guys. When I said you guys, I mean the viewers, listeners. The ride that you two have been on. With this, like, I feel terrible what I've put you through.
Not
like,
fun for the saints in the room.
No, I mean...
But you have been too, babe.
It's been brutal for me, but, like, no one out there knows what it is to see me get really angry. You guys do. And it is ugly.
The Cash Cab crew probably, too.
Oh, they know. Oh, they definitely know. But,
okay.
Yeah, it's not pretty, and... It was just too stressful.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to be perfect, and it was so far from perfect that it was like, you know what? And on top of that, honestly, guys, the live videos, they don't do as well. Like, we're putting a lot into this, so getting viewers and maybe getting sponsors and things is important to us. And
well, I think, the aim, why we started it was to make people happy, and like we're not trying to make like 12 people happy. We're
right.
Trying to make as many people happy.
We want to make as many people happy as we can. We want to raise as much money for the charities as we can, and we want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of factors contributed to us not going live. But what we are doing is once we've posted it at the right time, we are going to be watching and we are going to be involved in chats.
Okay, cool.
So if you guys are gonna chiming in, hopefully at this point you've already realized that we are watching and communicating with you guys while it's playing.
Yeah.
Obviously, I can't say that for sure yet because it hasn't happened. I can do a lot of things, but I cannot change time.
Okay. So next question.
Okay, another viewer question. I gotta play the thing. You know, I didn't make these things for nothing.
Was that a crackle?
Not something that will be picked up.
Okay.
Those things are only in the room.
And I just wanted to... It was actually a question from me. Are we hearing the echo just here, or is it...
Just here.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, I'll go again.
Wait, so that was the question?
Yeah.
Okay, that was not a viewer question. That was an Emma question. I do not have a graphic for that.
I just wanted to...
But next week I will.
Make a break where you could edit it out.
Oh, okay. Okay. No need.
All right.
No need. Sometimes I feel like I'm fighting myself, you guys.
I got my bet on Lefty.
I think if one of these guys goes down, they're both going down. Let's just take a second to appreciate my abs. Can we do that? I'm not a young man, people. I hope you appreciate the work I've put in. Look at those moves.
I do, sweetheart.
I know you do. Kieran's like, can we talk about something else?
Well, it's like the kid at the dinner table.
So the point of this, Ben boxing Ben's, sometimes I feel like I'm fighting myself. I'm sure that I'm not alone in that. So when you feel like you're fighting yourself, realize it. And think of this dummy punching himself in the face and try to take another course of action.
Realize nobody wins.
Yes, no one wins if you're fighting
yourself.
Not
you or you.
Not you, not you. Not you.
Certainly not you.
Not you and not you. Tonight, it's Ben versus Ben. Bonk. It was really fun making that, too.
Nice. Okay, yeah, so...
Is there another viewer question?
I had something else to say about us not going live. Oh, yeah, so everybody, even though we didn't go live, there were amazing comments came in from people.
Last week?
The week before, when we actually posted the show.
Right.
And I know people were feeling like they weren't involved in the show, but like, seriously, when Ben was not feeling great and having a rough time getting ready to go to the airport and stuff, we got in the car, he drove to the airport, and I read out the responses.
That really helped.
And you guys made his day. It just like...
Yeah, your comments, I feel them.
Yeah.
All the way down, good or bad.
Totally. Yeah, no,
so
I do too.
Thanks for the good ones and fuck you for the bad ones, sons of bitches. They're few and far between, they really are.
And they started off my weekend in a great way when, you know, you were going to be away for 4 days, so I think
taking some getting used to for you again, huh? For both of us to, like, get back into the swing of me traveling. And we've literally been in this house for 2 years. Sometimes out in the yard. But here's something we should do. Or did you have more to say about that?
Oh, yeah. So, no. I am asking, like, on the YouTube videos, if people have questions for the next week's show, put them in there, and I go there and get them. And Ryan Fort Comedy, screen name, asked one. He said he's enjoyed listening to the audio version of Ben destroying everyone, all capitals, in the room that night for years, during the Patrice O'Neill roast.
I knew it was going to be the Patrice O'Neill roast. It's so funny, man.
Yeah, and he said recently someone uploaded the video of that night here on YouTube, so he's enjoying that. That was another comment, but he said, do you remember your roast of Patrice O'Neill, and what did that feel like comedy high-wise?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. Unfortunately, I'm not taking any more questions. I'm kidding.
That was a great question.
That night, that was one of the best nights of my stand-up career, Patrice's roast. And it's really interesting because, like, a bunch of the guys on that dais for that roast, they had been doing all these roasts, and they didn't include me.
Mm.
And for this one, like, maybe 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before, they were like, hey, man, do you want to do the Patrice roast? And I said, sure. Yeah, I'd love to. And so I'm not on any of the promotional materials. Like, even now when they post it online, for some reason, it doesn't say Ben Bailey. It lists all these other guys that are on it, but it doesn't list me. But that was one of the best nights of my stand-up career because the whole of the New York City comedy scene was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it could hardly have gone better for me. partially because they kept pushing me back in the lineup, and every time they let someone go ahead of me, I drank another beer. And by the time I got up there, I probably had about 8 or 10 beers in me.
Wow.
And I had all this frustration. Like, there's this whole scene from back then where we would sit around the table at the Comedy Cellar. Everybody in the comedy world knows about it. But they don't all know that I was there. But I was. Every friggin' night I was there and part of that scene, part of that group. But part of the reason I think people don't realize is because I'm not vocal about it.
Yeah.
And I was relatively quiet then, you know. I just wanted to do my shows and sort of keep out of it. At that point in my life, my mouth had gotten me into trouble enough times that I had developed the habit of thinking before I spoke. So yeah. I would often just not say anything, which I thought was advantageous in a lot of ways at that time. But I later came to realize that if you don't say anything, people just assume, they make assumptions about what you're thinking. And they're incorrect.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird thing that I didn't see. But so I'm kind of not in people's heads as being a part of that scene. But I was. Like, Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn was on. I did that 3 or 4 times. Like,
yeah.
Those guys were like my other dysfunctional family. Same as any of them would say. But so when they said, hey, do you want to do the roast of Patrice? I said, absolutely. And I started writing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, every night, instead of hanging out at the club at the end of the night, I would go home and I would write and write and write and write. So when I went in to do the roast, I had written a lot of stuff. And no one expected it. You know,
yeah.
Everybody was like, oh, Ben's up, whatever. He kind of sits quietly and drinks too much. Let's see what he has to say. And then I just unloaded. Like, I didn't realize when I was writing the stuff how real it was for me and how much I wanted to let these guys know what I thought of them. And I did. I listened to it again like 6 months ago, and
yeah.
I can't believe some of the shit that I said.
Yeah.
I went after everybody. And it was awesome. Like to this day, when I see Colin Quinn, he's like, I remember the night you made your bones in this business, Ben Bailey. Patrice's roast. Nobody ever forget it. And it's been great because, like, honestly, Cash Cab came along, took over my life. I became known as that guy, the mm-hmm. Cash Cab guy. And Patrice's roast has been one thing that sort of has kept me in the mind of the stand-up community.
Yeah.
And real, like, diehard stand-up fans know that. Just this past weekend in Oklahoma City, several people mentioned it to me.
Mm.
The feature act said, man, he goes, I love Cash Cab and I love your stand-up. He goes, but what I love the most that you did, and I already knew what he's going to say, because it happens all the time.
Yeah.
So it's been a great thing for me, you know, and I'm really glad that I got to be a part of that.
That's cool.
I also roasted Jimmy Norton. For those of you who have enjoyed the Patrice roast, we roasted Jim Norton a little while later, and I'm on that one too, and it was...
And that's just started to come.
Yeah, they finally, I don't know what happened, but the video for those, like, didn't surface for, I mean, it's been like 20 years. It's been a long time, maybe not that long. It's been a long time since we did those, and they're finally out. So thanks for the comment, and it was an absolute high for me that night. I felt like part of the group. I felt accepted.
Nice.
Which is a big thing for me and for anybody, I guess, to feel like part of a group, let alone the peer group, you know, that's kind of at the top of the business that you're in, which we definitely were at the time. And you know, I don't know. So, yeah, it was great. And another thing that made it great is we had a connection to a club up on University Place. One of the guys that was a manager knew a guy that ran or owned this nightclub. And then so after the roast, we had the whole nightclub to ourselves, and we had this crazy party. And so it, like, I got to, like, really enjoy the aftermath of the roast by, like, walking around and like partying, and like it was just an amazing night.
Nice.
So it was an absolute high and absolutely one of the best nights of my stand-up career. So I think that answers the question.
I think so, baby. Well done.
Another RIP, Patrice O'Neill. Mm. Let's jump to something else, and let's take a look at the weird, wild, wacky, Wednesday weekly. It's weird, it's wild, it's wacky. It's Wednesday, it's worldly. It's Emma's Weird, Wild, Wacky Wednesday Weekly World News with Emma Gleason, of course. It is Emma's.
All right. So,
So you've been exploring the weird...
I certainly
the world
have.
Of weird news?
And I just realized I didn't send you the pictures that I...
That's okay.
I had for this.
We could do it without the pics.
Okay. All right. So there's a theme with the news that's going on.
Okay.
This one story came up a little while ago, and they just keep coming up over and over again.
Okay.
Online, it's odd.
And what might that theme be?
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I made all these notes and now they're gone.
Uh-oh, yeah. If you lose your notes, things are tough. Hard to keep up if you've lost your notes.
You know what? I think that the notes are here. They're just not highlighted. Okay.
You can't get to them?
No, you know when you like paste something into a document and it's the same color as the background and then
invisible
writing?
Where is it? Yeah. I did that on Boyam in the credits.
Oh, no.
It says sound guy and then the name of the guy, but in the same color as the background before that, it says the most annoying, and then you can see sound guy, and then it says in the world. You can't see it, but it's there because he was, as you remember, babe.
Oh, yes.
You know what? Just to pick things up because we've had a little bit of a lull, it's time to bullshit up for no reason at all, just because I love that thing.
Nice. Okay, so in the UK, there was the police got a call about a body in a car.
Oh boy!
Flying down the highway on the M11.
A body.
Yeah, they could see feet sticking out of a roll of carpet in this car that was driving down the road.
Oh my God! So, that is a dark image. Holy shit!
So the Cambridgeshire police got a call and they had to go track the car down, and they pulled the driver over and they discovered it was a mannequin.
It's a mannequin rolled in a carpet, sticking out of a car window.
Not sticking out of a window.
But like inside the car.
Yeah, the feet were sticking out of the roll of carpet inside the car. I would show you the picture, but I didn't send it to you.
I feel like there's some weird story behind that.
Sounds like you did it on purpose for a little bit of...
Right, for some attention?
Yeah.
Well,
it worked. We're in the U.S. talking about it right now.
That's true.
Well, they were heading to a birthday party, a themed birthday party. The theme of...
Bring a corpse?
The theme of the birthday party was Prince Charming. And it was like a mannequin dressed as Prince Charming.
But rolled in a carpet for some reason. Is there some connection between being rolled in a carpet and Prince Charming that I don't know?
No, I think it was just all the stuff that they were taking to the party.
Oh, okay.
To make the theme party look the way they wanted it to.
So the cops pulled them over.
Yep. And just advised them not to transport a mannequin in that manner again.
Right, if you're going to transport a mannequin, you strap it to the roof. You stand it up, make it surf like Teen Wolf.
So they advised them, like, don't do that shit again.
Yeah, don't do that again.
And basically, I think there needs to be a program for disposing of mannequins and because just recently.
Wait, this is a theme. There's been more than.
So that happened a little.
Wow.
That
I was going to say, what is
back
the theme?
When we were there was a time when I was like, oh my God, there's all these stories and I didn't know which to choose. I didn't pick that one. But then this week, there's another one from Malaysia that the police there got a call that there was a body behind a motorcycle shop and wrapped in...
I thought it was like behind a motorcycle. I'm like, they're dragging it along. That's what I was picturing.
No, this This time the body's stationary. It's not flying down a highway or a road.
Behind a motorcycle, but it's too late, so.
It was out.
Jesus.
Out the back of a commercial building.
Right.
Next to a dumpster, wrapped in plastic, and it looks like a dead body.
Of course it would,
yeah. I saw the pictures. There's one of them that I chose to not. I copied all the pictures to send to you and didn't do it, of course. But there's one of them I chose not to because it was like disturbing when I looked at it.
The picture was kind of terrifying.
They unwrapped it just to like check everything out, and then they have it. It's a like naked female looking mannequin, and they blurred it out. I don't know why, but but it looks so disturbing.
Yeah.
The way they'd done it, I was like, oh my god.
So they were just getting rid of it.
Yeah, but they had a whole, like, there's photos of a teams of people, people in different, people in red uniforms, people in white uniforms, all the cops are there. They have the whole area cordoned off because they were all convinced.
Because they thought there was a body.
They all thought it was a body. The person called it in. They were like, oh my god, there's a dead body back here.
Is there any chance they were just trying to hype the motorcycle shop, get some attention? Maybe they were trying to land a major press conference.
I don't know.
Like a certain landscaping company.
I don't know. Because there's yet another
Four Seasons motorcycle shop.
Okay, and then the week before
another one. Good lord.
There's on a Georgia trail in the National Forest. Someone found what they thought was a dead body.
Oh, man.
Police got called out. But it was a life-size doll.
It was a doll?
Yes.
Well, like a sex doll?
I imagine. Reading between the lines.
You don't
make
a life-size doll just to keep it on a shelf, do you?
I guess someone, like, thought...
Why would you bring it to the woods, too?
Yeah. That is a creepy fantasy right there.
Although
if you were
like
decided you didn't want that doll, what would you do with it?
I was thinking, okay.
I just buy it a bus ticket.
Yeah, you can't throw it out in your regular garbage because your neighbors might suspect. So you got to bring it out.
What are they gonna that you're throwing at your?
I don't know what
a woman.
Think,
yeah, that's the problem. You put it in your garbage can. You know, the garbage people are gonna see what looks like a body going into the back of the garbage truck, like, or your neighbors are going to call the police. He's trying to dispose of a body. Like, there needs to be a system.
There needs
clearly,
to be a system, yeah.
Because
I think Superman outfit fired out of a cannon. That's how you get rid of a mannequin. Put the arms out.
It'd be a good startup for a company.
Yeah, mannequin disposal.
Well, there was, and then there was a woman I was looking up things online, and there's been the reverse. There's been people who have thought that it was a mannequin when it wasn't, which was horrible.
Yeah, that's definitely worse.
Not just people, like police officers have thought that they were and put, you know, oh, just put it in the dumpster.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so anyway. Keeping
holy
it.
Moly.
Keeping
I've got,
it.
It made me think of a movie quote, so I'm just going to
okay,
do it real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's dead tired.
That one I know.
You know that one?
Oh, yeah.
Karen, what is it? Go ahead, say it.
Commando.
Boom! Karen nice. Nailed it, you guys. The idea of bringing a mannequin on or a sex doll that you wanted to get rid of on the bus and buying it a ticket to who knows where reminded me of Commando when he's on a plane with a dead guy. You have to excuse my friend. He's dead tired.
Such a good line.
Like, no, he's actually dead.
My favorite line from that is when he tells the one guy, he's like, remember when I told you I'd kill you last?
I lied. And then later she's like, what happened to Sully? And he's like, I let him go.
Yes.
Because he's holding him by his foot over a cliff, and he just God. Lets him go.
That movie.
That's a great movie.
It
Boy
is.
Boyam, the character Boyam, it was inspired largely by Commando and those characters. Definitely Boyam's outfit is Commando inspired. Mm-hmm. So is there more? Are there more news?
Okay, so then when I was like looking for good photos of these things, mm-hmm. I came across yet another article. Like
another instance.
Not in this one was about a florist getting creative with disposing of the mannequin body parts.
Oh wow!
And so she spelled out the word love with old mannequin body parts.
Interesting.
In a display for Valentine's Day. That's, so
wow, that is weird. That is really weird. It is the weird, wild, wacky Wednesday Weekly World News,
yes.
Folks.
Yeah.
We have exactly. You have delivered yet again. It's really strange.
Oh, and
what should I do with these mannequin body parts? I know. I'll tell people that I love them in the weirdest way ever.
And I'm sorry, babe, I didn't get you anything for Valentine's Day, but I came up with a great idea.
That's all right. I didn't get you anything either. It was like 6 o'clock and we were like, oh, happy Valentine's Day, babe. Yeah. PM. What's your great idea? I can't wait to hear it.
So there's zoos around the place that mm-hmm. are encouraging people to buy hissing cockroaches for, well, you can name a hissing cockroach after your loved one or...
Ooh, how romantic. I don't know which is less romantic, the mannequin body parts I love you message or naming a hissing cockroach after you.
I know.
Hey, sweetie, guess what I got you?
Do you know how big those
things are?
There
he is.
Are?
His name is Emma.
They're huge.
Hissing cockroaches?
Yeah, they're like...
No, I don't think I want to know. How big are they?
2 to 3 inches.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's not that
they're
big.
Like...
I thought you were going to say they're like a foot and a half long.
No, but they're like fat.
Those things would rule. They would take over the world if they were that big.
And have you heard them hiss?
No.
Like, they like... It sounds like a person hissing.
Do you have
YouTube videos
an impression?
It's just like a hiss. And you can hear them from like 11 feet away. Like, it's a loud hiss.
Oh, wow. That is
crazy.
Freaky.
But
I didn't know till recently they flew.
They can fly, too?
I don't know about the hissing ones, but a good amount of cockroaches can
yeah.
fly.
Yeah, well, it's funny because to me, a cockroach and a...
water bug?
A water bug, are, yeah. they seem like the same thing, but they call them water bugs down south.
They fly.
There's another word they use, too, which is escaping me. But they seem like the same thing, but they are huge down there.
We call them water bugs in Sydney, too.
Right, but there's like a... I can't remember what it is.
I'm holding behind my mic, but they're huge.
Yeah, they're really big.
And they will fly in the window, but like they won't... It's not like cockroaches that come around when you leave food out and stuff and can infest.
DC Benny had a great story about he and his wife took a vacation. They were like on an island somewhere in like a hut. And he said after they fell asleep, they could hear the things flying into the wall. It was so loud. They turn the light on. They're like, oh,
wow.
Oh my God. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Speaking of zoos, we haven't gone up on the hill to consult the wise old man. He's got some interesting stuff. Let's see what he has to say.
I hope you guys are enjoying the view. I hope I'm not in the way. I mean, I am, obviously, I'm blocking it now, but just for a second, like before I wasn't blocking it, so I hope you were enjoying the view. It's a nice place to come in town, to come up here. If you live in town, come on up, you know, come on up and enjoy the view. It's nice, there's not a lot of stuff to do around here, as you can see, there's not a whole lot of things happening, so, you know, you could come up here, you could look at the view, you could go to the zoo. Although I gotta be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of that zoo, the local zoo. I went to the zoo. There's a hippo. There's supposedly a hippo. I stood there. I looked at the hippo enclosure for like 3.5 hours. I never saw a hippo. And hippo, it's not like a parakeet. It's huge. So is there a hippo or is there not a hippo? I don't know. Why don't you answer me that question, zoo? Come up to me looking for answers. Where's the hippo? That's what I want to know. Where's a hippo? I come to the zoo just for the hippo. You think I care about monkeys? I don't care about monkeys. I'm a monk. What do I care about monkeys? I want to see a hippo. Where's a hippo? Stop pretending you have a hippo if you don't have a hippo, okay? This isn't for everybody. This is just for the people at the local zoo that claim to have a hippopotamus. Where's a hippo? How are you hiding it? Right? I mean, you know what? I'm gonna call you guys right out of this. You don't have a hippopotamus. You don't have a hippopotamus, and you never did, okay? There, I said it. You don't have a hippo.
That guy's crazy, man. He's got a thing about the hippo.
You could tell he doesn't have people in his life, though.
Yeah, well, he's up there on the mountain all by himself.
Those eyebrows.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Somebody should let him know.
No one's letting you know that they need trimming.
Trim those things back, dude. They're huge.
At least he didn't have the nose hairs.
Yep. I told him he did, but I warned him. I let him know.
All right. Well, I'm not going to buy you any hippos or hissing cockroaches.
Thank you very much.
For Valentine's
You could
Day.
Name a hippo after me. That I'd prefer that to a...
That's cool.
I'm a big fan of the hippo.
There's other...
Hippos are dangerous.
Hippos do not fuck around, man.
No, they do not.
Hippos kill more people in Africa than any other wild animal.
Any other like wild combined. Animal. Yeah, the number one on the list is people, I'm sure. But hippos are a distant second. Yeah, hippos are badass. Like, they're made out to be, like, in cartoons and stuffed animals. You think, oh, they're like these big roly-poly. But no, a hippo, they are violent and dangerous.
Especially if they have young.
If they have kids. Like, I remember seeing, and I don't think they call them kids. Here's a hippo with no kids. I remember seeing a video on some nature channel when I was a kid. There's a baby hippo just, like, floating in a pond. Mm. And there's all these... alligators just looking like laying there like oh my god,
that's so delicious.
Yeah, and but they're not going after it, and then they pull back, and it's because the mama hippo is standing on the other side of the pond, and the gators know you go for that hippo, the baby, and that mama hippo will come over and thrash the shit out of all of them. Like they just knew better.
Wow.
Like, that is amazing. Like, a mama hippo, don't fuck with a mama hippo, man.
Yeah.
And don't mess with Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with Mother Nature, which is, should I tell them what movie that's from? I might as well, right?
Okay.
Well, you can answer the last one.
That does anyone remember what the quote was from last time?
I think it was the one with the sandwich. The guy wanted a specific sandwich.
Oh my god! I totally knew what it was, and now I've totally spaced on it.
Jack Nicholson's in it. They're in a diner. I don't want to. Get
oh no,
too
that
much
was work. A that was a few times ago. That was.
Did we answer that one already?
That was Five Easy Pieces. I don't know if we told people which that one was, but yeah, that was Five Easy Pieces, and someone got that one.
Oh, they
but
did.
But yeah, there was a different one last week, and I've totally spaced on what it was. I was going to tell them.
Oops!
It's 2 weeks ago. Because we didn't do a show
all
last
right,
week.
We've got a couple to catch up on.
Yeah, we got a couple to catch up on. All right. Yeah, well, maybe we'll tell you guys what those are next time.
Well, you can tell them the one from today if we're still leaving them hanging on the other one.
Yeah, I guess so. What was the quote again? I should be making notes. Clearly my memory is not what it used to be.
Oh.
No, it's Don't Fuck With Mother Nature, and it's from a movie called Leviathan.
Leviathan,
starring Richard Crenna.
Oh,
and he's the one who says it. It's actually a good movie.
Yeah.
It's about a sea monster.
I've got no chance of getting these quotes when I haven't seen the movies.
Yeah, that one is pretty obscure. I don't think a lot of people have seen Leviathan.
I don't think my chances go up a lot when I've seen the movies anyway.
Right. You know, I don't remember stuff from movies like I used to when I was a kid. And part of that is I realized, we talked about this, because I watched them 100 times when I was a kid. I watched Fletch. Like, I know every line from Fletch, but that's because I watched it every time it was on, and it was on every day for a very long time. So
you know what? I watched a movie when you went away, when you were on the plane, I think.
Oklahoma,
maybe
where they don't ever
hockey.
Plow the fucking streets.
That we love, and that every time I watch it, I'm like, oh, this is great to watch again.
I think I know what it is. What do you...
It was Moonstruck.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry. I should have given the
quote. Yeah, I thought you were going to give me a quote, and I was going to guess, but you know I would get it. Where are you taking me?
To the bedroom.
No, it wasn't that one. It was in time you'll die, and I'll come to your funeral in a red dress.
But you could learn to in time. In time, what does he say? He says something before
he
that.
He says...
In time, he'll get over it or something. They're talking about his brother.
Oh, in time...
Johnny Capareri.
In time, you realize... No, Johnny Capareri says it.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. When he comes back.
Off, I can't marry you, Loretta. She's like, what?
Right.
And he's like, you know, in time, you realize it's for the best.
In time, you'll die and I'll come to your funeral in a red dress. That's a great line.
I love it. It's awesome.
Kind of rhymed, too.
I love it. That's such a great movie.
Yeah.
It really is a great
so
movie.
Good.
There's so many great little bits in it. And all those little bits together, like I say often about movies, those little bits add up. And that's what really gives a movie depth. And just, it's just so good.
Mm.
The whole thing. We watched it with friends like 2 months ago we just watched
it. Yeah, we watched the second half.
And we were just glued and, you know.
Yeah.
I love you. And she slaps him so hard. Snap out of it! Every performance in that movie was great.
Yeah.
Danny Aiello is great. I still feel badly. I was doing stand-up. I did a stand-up set at the Hollywood Improv one night.
Mm.
And I was doing this like kind of weird stuff that I really loved, but didn't hit as hard as some of my other stuff. It was just very quick and kind of quirky, almost one-liners.
Mm.
It wasn't a huge crowd. It was like a Tuesday. There was probably a dozen people in there. One person, most people were chuckling. One person in the crowd, a man, was laughing so hard that it was like very noticeable to me. Like, wow, this guy is loving my stuff. So I finished up and I went out to the bar outside and the guy came out. It was Danny Aiello. And he was like, you are so funny. So funny. Oh, man. He goes, you got to come and sit. This is another time where like a celebrity, I met a celebrity and I just totally screwed it up. He was like, you got to come in and sit with me and Bud. It was Bud Friedman, the guy who owns the Improv. And,
oh, okay.
Come in and sit with me and Bud. It was fantastic. By the way, I've never done an impression of Danny Aiello ever, but I think I just fucking nailed it.
Yeah, it was good.
And I was like, oh, thanks. I can't. I got to go do another spot at the store. And I fucking left. Like, why? Why would I do that? How important is another 10-minute set at the store on a Tuesday night? And he passed away. So bummed. I invited him. I reached out to him like a few months later and invited him to a show in New York that I was doing. But I never got to meet him again or talk to him again. And I wish I had, man, because he was great. He's so good in so many different things.
Yeah.
And it's such a great thing for me to have him come up to me and, you know, tell me how much he enjoyed my stand. It was really cool.
So, well, you always have that.
I will. Yeah, it's a great memory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just wish I had. No, I can't. I gotta go. I have nothing. Like, I might as well have had nothing to do, but I left anyway.
You're big at fulfilling your responsibilities.
Well, I was really working on the set. Like, I really, like, and it was coming along and doing multiple performances of the same thing, one after another, especially on the same night. That's how you can really hone stuff, so.
Mm.
But I feel like we've been going for a long while here already. We're an hour and 15 minutes in. No sign of that fucking crackle, folks. And that just makes me say, boom! Take that, you crackling son of a bitch. So I think we're approaching the end of the show, which means it's time for Sunday. Most days, folks, most days of the year, especially Sundays, are at least one, more often than not, they are several weird, wacky holidays, sort or another. And, we have created this segment to honor those crazy holidays. We used to do the show on Sunday nights. That's why the segment is called Sunday, and it's Wednesday. So what we say here at the show is Wednesday is Sunday at the Big New Show.
It is indeed.
So let's go to Emma and see what those holidays are.
It is yet again. I think you should leave yourself on the screen.
To you for a minute here, and then I'll put us both back up there.
All
yeah,
right.
Move the lip balm. Nobody wants to see that lip balm.
Nobody wants to see what you use to keep those lips shiny.
Yeah, my lips are not shiny at all by comparison. They seem rather dry.
Yeah.
All right, back to both of us.
Okay.
And now just me and Bill.
Oh, that's what made me think of this earlier when you were talking about the blind people playing golf. I know it's not the same at all, but it's Thumb Appreciation Day.
Sunday is Thumb Appreciation Day.
Yeah.
I like that. I have a major appreciation for my thumbs.
I do too. And I was watching a thing about, you know, why our thumbs are called opposable. Didn't answer the question. But I think oppose as in opposite. They can go opposite all of the...
Right, so you can push against, you can create that grip in between.
Everyone said, oh, because you can make them go to, you know, all your fingers.
That's why they're opposable?
And I'm like, no, that's not...
No, it's so, because you can put pressure in the opposite direction of your fingers and create the grip.
Yeah, and they can go in all sorts of directions and do
some people,
all sorts
they can go like in many different directions.
That the digits can't. All your toes and all your fingers are digits.
All right, here's a weird little thing that I can do with my thumb. Never will we have a more appropriate moment for me to show you guys this weird little
okay.
thing.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm double jointed or if everyone can do that.
We used to do that at school all the time.
But it's this weird little, it pops in and I can pop it out. I know there's some people watching who are just like, oh, stop doing that. It always grossed people out a little bit.
I can do it.
I can do it with my
pop
pink,
it in
with
like
my
that.
Pinky.
moment shots.
Anyway.
Shadow puppets this week on the Big News Show. I really appreciate my thumbs.
Yeah,
I really do.
And they don't give you a really good way to celebrate it, but remember that game we have that you can like, it's, I mean, you can do it by yourself at home, but the person on the thing was saying, you know, just to see how much you use your thumbs.
Oh, right.
You know, you can do it at home by yourself. You just wrap your thumb, tape it to your hand.
Yeah, and then try to function without them for a minute.
Try and do up a zipper. Try and.
Oh, forget it.
Buttons on your shirt. Try. try and feed yourself. Try and do anything. And I was thinking, you know what? This is like if somebody had to go through rehab in your family, like a great way for the kids in that family or even adults to like really sort of like remind themselves of like just how difficult that would be to like do that stuff. Like try and brush your teeth with your left hand. Like,
right.
I just do
I
that.
I feel like you could, like a hairbrush, you might, or teeth, you might be able to get a reasonably good grip without the thumb in between all of them. But like buttoning buttons or anything where, you know, there's something small that has to be, like, I don't think I could button my shirt without my thumb.
Use a pair
at
of
all.
Scissors. Like,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, just to like appreciate. Huh.
I appreciated them before and I appreciate them a little bit more now already.
Take things for granted. Put a pillow in a pillowcase.
Oh, God, that's hard enough. Try to do that without your chin.
I would never oppose a day like this.
Oh, Kieran. Nice. You get blown up for that, buddy.
I'm waiting.
I'm not opposed to celebrating Thumb Appreciation Day.
All right,
cool. That's
okay,
a good one.
So Thumb Appreciation
I like that
Day.
One. That's one of my favorites.
It's great, right?
Yep.
Hoodie Who Day.
Hoodie Who Day?
Yep.
What? What is it? Is there any explanation of Hoodie Who Day?
Hoodie Who Day falls a month before the beginning of spring.
Okay.
So it's...
There's only a month till spring? That's fantastic news.
Yeah. Just
it has been cold as shit out there. Hoodie Who Day.
So it's about celebrating that there's only a month until spring. The way that you celebrate it is that you get together with a group of people in your community and you yell Hoodie Who. So I don't know what it's
okay.
I think what they're going for is like, oh, like if I was like trying to pretend like I didn't know Ben, I'd be like, Ben who? So it's like Hoodie Who, like, oh, I don't need a hoodie because it's going to be spring.
Hoodie Who. I like your theory.
Right,
that's,
yes.
That's my guess.
Yeah,
I
and that
know.
Was my, like, they had pictures of people with hoodies on, and I was thinking, oh, it's only like a month until spring. We could get away with just hoodies then, like, but.
Wait, Hoodie Who. I don't need no hoodie.
Who, yeah.
But there's no explanation.
Who's this hoodie?
There's none of that in the explanation of the day.
It just says get together with people and yell Hoodie Who.
And yell Hoodie Who. Then. Then go home.
I like it.
Go home, drink hot cups of tea, because clearly you'll be cold out.
Right.
So, and start doing fun things to get ready for spring, like planting seeds and getting your closet ready and whatnot.
Getting
spring
your closet
cleaning,
ready.
I think.
Spring cleaning, yeah.
But
Hoodie Who Day.
But Hoodie Who, they said they don't know where it comes from, but it's country slang for how are you. It was first used in the Andy Griffith Show.
Hoodie Who. Interesting.
Yeah.
The Andy Griffith Show.
All right. And then when you're done with that, cook a sweet potato day.
Cook a sweet potato day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. These are, man, it's just so interesting that these are actually holidays. Is there anything behind that other than People want to sell some damn sweet potatoes?
You know what? It's probably a fair bit to do that.
Next Sunday is Don't Cook a Sweet Potato Day.
But
just eat them raw.
But sweet potatoes, very versatile, consumed by billions of people across the globe. They've been...
Around the globe.
I'm reading.
I know.
Yep, they need to...
I wouldn't have corrected
Sorry,
you if
you're
you were.
Right.
It just bugs me that people say across the globe.
I know.
It is not a flat surface. It is an oblate spheroid. And you can go around it, but you can't go across it.
It's language that's old, I think, babe. As
yeah.
old as the potatoes, sweet potatoes, dating back 8,000 BC.
8,000 BC is the first sweet potatoes were first on record.
The remnants have been found that are that old.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
Don't eat those.
Must be some dried up
those have been around for
potatoes.
A while. We've had some that have been in the pantry for 8 weeks. 8,000 BC. I wonder if we could go back and taste those, would they be different? Would they taste totally different from what we eat now?
I don't think they would be as sweet.
I think they'd be different. Yeah.
Yeah, because of people select for the sweetest varieties and keep growing those, and then
right.
You know,
yeah, they've evolved. They've changed a lot, yeah. And there'd be a lot more magnesium in them back then.
Because
there's no magnesium
there's
in
the
soil
because right,
we farmed it out.
Yes. They say they have a lot of nutritional value. But
they do. Sweet potatoes are great.
But you get it much better when they're cooked. Many American colonists in the Southeast when they first came here ate them raw.
Palmetto bugs. That's what they call them. Sorry. Just came to me. They would eat... That's the other name for the water bug, giant cockroach bugs. They call them palmetto
maybe
bugs.
Maybe because they live in palmetto palms?
I believe it has something to do with
maybe,
that.
Maybe.
I don't know why your thing about early settlers eating raw sweet potatoes made me realize that. But
wow.
Sweet potatoes are so hard raw.
They're very crispy.
Yeah, that'd be... And they're saying they're good for you raw, or they're
no.
They
they're
say,
saying
say,
you get more nutritional.
You get more nutrition if you cook them.
Out of them, if you cook them, so cook a sweet potato day.
Cook a sweet potato because it's better than eating it raw.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that it falls now and not at the beginning of the sweet potato season.
When is sweet potato season?
Well, all tuber and root vegetables, are summer or winter harvested.
Of course, yeah.
And fall harvested, and so
everybody knows
and
that.
Because they store well through the winter, they're
all right. Okay,
it's a big winter staple.
Tubers, I think that's just such a great name.
Yeah,
it's just something very surfer dude about it.
Tubular
dude. When did you plant the tubers, dude? It's tubers, it's totally tuber season.
Cool.
All right, well, those are three interesting holidays. Let's do the Sunday. This weekend, put your thumbs up and grab something between your thumb and your forefinger because you can, because it's Thumb Appreciation Day. Now grab your hoodie with your thumb and forefinger and pull it off and say hoodie hoo to your friends because you don't need that thing anymore because it's only a month till spring. Now you're hungry because you've been outside wearing a hoodie and holding your thumbs up, so go inside and cook a sweet potato. Don't eat it, just cook it.
Woo! Nice, baby.
All right, that one was kind of fun. I feel like I haven't really been nailing those since the new format, but that one felt pretty good.
That was good timing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Blowing it up at the end really, really kind of seals the deal.
Mm.
All right, you guys, I hope you had fun watching tonight's show. I definitely had a good time doing it. We've made it through here without any major issues.
That's amazing.
So that's episode 5 of The Big New Show. Thank you so much for watching, guys. We will see you right here next week, same time, same place. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for watching and or listening to The Big New Show. That was episode number 5. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. I, of course, am Ben Bailey. Also tonight on the show, the lovely and talented Miss Emma Gleason, who has joined me here. Sparky the dog was very quiet tonight.
He
didn't make a peep. He's been staying up late watching the Olympics.
I think he only likes to speak up when it's live.
New guy Kieran was here and still is, of course. Yeah, he knows the show's not live, so he's not howling at all.
But that was it. Episode 5 of the Big News Show. Next week on the show, I will be here, of course, with Emma. We'll be going live from Vic's Bar, talking about all sorts of interesting, different stuff. There'll be boxing bends. There might be some stuff we haven't actually seen yet. I've got a couple of things up my sleeve. We, of course, will be doing Emma's Weird, Wild, Wacky Wednesday Weekly World News. We take viewer questions. We're going to do a movie quote. We're going to do Sunday, Sunday, Sunday like we always do because it's the Big News Show. All that and much, much more on next week's episode. That's Wednesday night. Don't miss it. It's the Big News Show. Good night, everybody.